Hello and welcome to Believers Family Church. We are so blessed that you've tuned in today. We are a growing church lifting up Jesus in the beautiful and historic Johnstown, New York. God has called us here to set the captives free. We pray and we believe that today's message will produce great fruit in your life. He who the Son set free is free indeed, and we call you free. Enjoy today's message.
Remember how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace? Now, I'm sure that they had some hair on them and it didn't get singed, burnt off. So Nebuchadnezzar comes down and takes a look in here. He says, I see that we cast three of these men into the fire, and there's four in there. And it says here in verse 25, I'm just going to give you this one because you know the story. He answered and said, whoa, or lo, he says here, but I think it's a wow. It's like, wow, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt, and the form of the fourth was like the Son of God. So that was the fourth man. So when I began looking at the context of this whole thing and realizing, God, okay, so this all occurred. So the fourth man occurred. The third person, that's the Holy Ghost, which we're going to put some thrust on so that people in a lack of knowledge of who the Holy Spirit is don't want them. Don't want them. They don't believe in it, and what you don't believe, you don't receive. So I took a look at this whole thing. I said, God, you know what? This is so profound because you made something that seems so complex so easy. So the fourth man. I want to take a look at John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. And this is red letter. So I looked it over, and I'm going to read this to you. It's probably going to be up there. John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. And Jesus is talking. Listen up. Jesus is talking, not pastor reading a scripture. This is Jesus talking. Paul's letter is Paul talking. My letter is me talking when I send you one. But here's what Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall send you another comforter, that he may abide with you how long? Forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you and shall be in you. He dwells with you and shall be in you. He dwells with you. Now, you think of the impossibility. My wife and I, we live in the same house, so therefore we dwell together, don't we? But there's no way we can inside each other. So Jesus is giving a truth here. He said that this comforter, the Holy Spirit, he dwells with you and shall be in you. So here's what's lacking in my perception in the body of Christ. I say this, it's not enough to be born again, because that's just quenching a thirst. But Jesus says you've got to go after that gushing river of power that's inside you, gushing out, that will drive out all fear. That would be the fourth man, Jesus Christ, who was in there with him, that will drive out all fear. I wonder why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't fearful. They had Jesus with them. This is not a fictitious story. This is Bible. This is Daniel. This is reality as we segued over into the New Testament. And I had to go to that verse of Scripture because what God said about that was, know that you know the reality of the indwelling Holy Spirit. I mean, we could talk about that verse of Scripture like the rest of the half hour. Because you know what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And It's no respecter of persons. So when Jesus said that, I took that as a promise that you know him. And he said, I'm going to pray the Father to give you another comforter. You know why? Because Jesus was leaving physically, but coming back spiritually. So when you get Jesus in your heart, and then you get filled with the Spirit, don't get caught up on the tongue issue, because I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a person, not a member. I'm talking about a person inside us. And many, many, many times, it should be the first person you call on when you're in trouble. Oh, no, I don't know what I'm going to do about this. Ask the one who knows. He's not out here. He's in here. The preparations of the Spirit belong to man. And what you hear in the Spirit comes out your mouth. So when you look at this, and I love this verse of Scripture because Jesus is all red letter when he talks. And he said, I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter or counselor, some say, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. So in other words, you could be in a neighborhood where they don't know the first thing about Jesus except how they use it. But you know him, for he dwells with you, shall be in you. Glory to God. How many of you know that the food you eat goes through your whole system? It's not dwelling in you. It just goes through your whole system. It makes you healthy. The third person, Luke chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. This is the third person. Jesus being full. Everybody say full. Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, afterward he hungered. So look, he did 40 days of prayer and fasting. But the only way he could do that, going in, he was full. He was full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and then he was led by that Holy Ghost, he was led by that Spirit into the wilderness. He knew exactly where he was going. Do you know if Jesus didn't have that Holy Ghost? Nobody knows what would have happened out there, because he wouldn't have had the power. He would have been a flesh, blood, and bone man. Remember, he gets nailed to the cross, feels the pain, he bleeds, he dies. No sin, grave couldn't hold him, raised up, goes and sends the Holy Spirit to indwell in us so that we could do what he does. We can do what he does. One of his last commissions was, and these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they shall. In my name, they shall. In my name, they shall cast out devils. I wonder why the devil couldn't take them out. Because the Holy Ghost is talking, lifting up Jesus. That's what we want. We don't want a church that teaches us how to get by. We want to be part of a church that tells us how to go over. Amen? We should be the place by now where we know that we know that we know who it is that resides inside us, empowering us so that we can lay hands on the sick and see the sick recover. That we can cast out those devils and they have to leave. It's evil. Listen, I've seen it happen on my own property. I've seen it happen. Alcohol's a demon. Nicotine's a demon. Why? Both destroy you. God wouldn't do that. God wouldn't you say, oh, it's okay to do that. No, he wants you to live. And the more you do it, I'm telling you, how you take care of your temple is how your temple will function. Really? You know, I'm kind of like progressing. See, I got off the caffeine and I'm on decaf, which I take D off and think I'm drinking calf. You know? So I'm saying, okay, Lord, you just tell me, because what God will do, he will wean you from trouble. And when I looked at this, I said, Jesus is full of the Holy Ghost. So he had to get the Holy Ghost before he was able to go and defeat that 40-day temptation. Because he was just a man otherwise. He could be beaten, bruised, and all that. Did you see? That's the real deal. Nails through the hands and feet, piercing the side, and gushing out, and then nothing left in him. But the grave couldn't hold him, because he had the Holy Ghost. This is what we want. This is the third person. So I'm remarking at Jesus' fullness, because he wasn't part full. And this is what I want you to see. Don't allow your enemy to defeat you when you know you've got the one who wins all. It's just so easy. Think, get this. I got this little six-year-old boy in my neighborhood, and he just wants me to mentor him. And his name is Angel. I didn't find out that until my wife told me. I said, wow, but he's hanging out. He holds ladders for me. Now, this boy is young enough to know Jesus. I said, do you know Jesus? He said, yeah. We talk about it in Sunday school. So he must see the Jesus in me to migrate toward that. But there's also someone else inside me that he's migrating toward, because he sees the love of God coming out of me. Do I let him hold a ladder? Yes. Not while I'm on it, though. I got faith. But I'm not foolish. Listen, I want you to see the kind of power that was deposited in us, how this same Jesus was able to defeat the devil because of the Holy Ghost. And then the promise comes from John's gospel. This is really neat. I'm trying to like spend some time on these, because I got the meat of this inside me through the weekend, but now you get the burp. John 7:37-39. In the last day, is that what we have? The great day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So what did he go to heaven for? So the Holy Ghost could come. And the catcher in there is verse 38. He that believes on me, not know about him, believe on him. Everybody knows that name Jesus, no matter how they use it. Say they knew about that name somewhere along the line. And he said, this is red letter, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, present tense, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And you move forward into John's gospel, seven chapters out, and you find this one in John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. Y'all getting this okay? The Holy Spirit has the capability of taking you feel sorry for yourself thing away from you. Do you know what they did to me? I know what God did for you. Doesn't matter what they did to you. Just know what God did for you. See, a person can't receive the Holy Ghost till they get Christ in there first. And they don't realize that. And when you play with that sort of thing, listen, I used to be very, very held back because I wasn't that confident in my confession of Jesus Christ that I would just go share it with everybody. But now all the chains are off. He broke the chains of the bondage that would keep us squeezed, that we're afraid to tell somebody about the Lord for what they would say back to us. But now it doesn't matter. No matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you are. Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, Stewart, doesn't matter where you are. I frequent all of them. And I like to be at the coffee place where they're pouring coffee because they're pouring theirs and I'm pouring mine. And I say, hey, you know what? Have you ever heard about Jesus? They quickly mix their coffee up, put the cap on, and walk. And one lady said, I don't want to hear nothing about that Jesus stuff. And you will someday. Yeah, see, what's so bad about it? He's a blessing. John 14, 16, 17, he says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, which the world can't receive because it sees him not, neither knows him not, but you know him, for he dwells in you and shall be in you. Now this is where it all comes together. The first breath and the second breath. I said, God, okay, give me. There's only two places. Two places. Genesis 2:7. Here's what it says. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became. He breathed the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Woo! Glory to God. You can kind of wonder, how did that first man get a pulse? Because God breathed into him, and he became a living soul. I said, wow, God, that's so good. I like that. Then I said, well, what was the second breath? John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. This is the last chapter of John. When he got talking, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now think about it. He didn't touch them. He didn't pray for them. He breathed on them. So it must be that the Holy Spirit has to come in by breath. It must be that the same thing that they use to resuscitate somebody, they give them mouth to mouth because their heart stopped beating, and they give them breath to expand them, to get them going again. This is what God did for us.
Thank you, Father.
We walk around. I don't want to be defeated. I know what that's like. No, I'm above only and not beneath. I'm more than a conqueror.
Thank you, Jesus.
The conqueror is the one who goes in the ring and does the fighting. The more than a conqueror is the one that collects the money after he wins. So he had to do no fighting. And you think about what God did for us. He breathed on them, the whole group of them that was there, and he goes, says he breathed on them. He breathed on them, and like this whole room, like if it was kind of like in a place where you could just like, well, if you breathe in your car, your windows fog up on a cold day. It's just breath. He breathed on them. And then he said, receive. What was he breathing? The Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Wow. I want to look at Scripture that way. This is the real deal. That's like I always like to listen to Dr. Frederick Casey Price because he's a word of faith man. Word of faith man. The second breath personified. Listen to this. We're almost done. I'll just go down through this. I want you to get this. This is so profound because when I got looking, I said, God, I thank you so much for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit inside me that I can pioneer through all this darkness and loneliness and blackness. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 5, and then 8 to 11. We'll go down through here quickly. The former treatise I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up to heaven. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not go or depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. And he said unto them in verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, even in Johnstown, New York, and Gloversville, New York, and New York State. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received them out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly, so here they are leaning back, looking up, and see him disappear in the clouds. Verse 10 says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he was caught up, behold, two men by them in white apparel. I wonder if that could have been angels. Two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall also come in like manner as you see him go. Now, I don't know about you, but we're going to be caught up together with the Lord in the air. We're going to be caught up. So it must be that same cloud that he was disappearing in. Must be. We're going to be caught up. Because he comes back to earth the second time with his church. Yes. Thank you, God. That's us-ins. That's you and me-in. You know? And I look at, this is the book of the Acts of the Apostles. It's like they were sent out to go. Boy, did they conquer things, right? Amen. So you come right on over in Acts chapter 2. You gotta be following this and tracking this to see where this is going. But this is the grand finale. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, then 16 to 21, and 46 and 47, because this makes the context so you can see it. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, this has come right out of chapter 1, Acts. Coming right out of it, segue right into Acts chapter 2. If you trace it, you see. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. Let's see. They were gazing up into heaven. I'm reading verse 10 of chapter 1. They were gazing up into heaven. This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall also come in like manner as you've seen him go to heaven. Chapter 2, verse 2 says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. If you could see the picture of them in that upper room, and they have some paintings that have a tongue of fire hanging over their heads. God, that was the Holy Ghost coming in. That was the penetration of the Holy Ghost. So they appeared to cloven tongues of fire, and it sat upon each of them. How, I mean, they're saying 144 up there, how many there was. Doesn't matter. They all got one. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And then you get the prophecy coming after that in verse 16, just to help you out a little bit. There's times when my wife and I, she independent, me independent, both of us together, we don't get the answer till we get together in the Spirit. Then it comes. Where two of you agree on earth is touching anything. We don't know what to pray for in English because we run out of things to say. But we get rolling in the Holy Ghost, or her and me together, and all of a sudden, the revelation comes. That's what it's all about. It's nothing spooky. Hallelujah. I've heard worse language. So Joel says, verse 16, Acts 2, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, or Joel, some say. And it shall come to pass in the last days, I think we're close to that, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. We all win, don't we? And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit. Woo, this is the prophet talking. And they shall prophesy.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
And I will show you wonders in the heaven above. I think we're seeing some of that. Mm-hmm. And signs in the earth beneath. I think we're seeing some of that. Blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood. We're getting close on that. So these were the blood moons that John Hagee was talking about. We're getting close on seeing what's going to take place with that whole thing. This was the prophet Joel talking about it. Here we are now. We're seeing the moon do some funny stuff. So, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord coming, shall be turned to darkness. Wow. So, verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever, I love it, I'm excited about it, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I don't know what to do. Help me, Lord. I don't even believe in you, but I know you're out there. Everyone, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who? They might not know anything about it, but they call on a name. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I want you. Jesus, I need you as my Savior. I don't want to be anywhere in the Spirit without you. And they continuing, verse 46, and they continually, daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. Look what happened when the Holy Ghost came. Look what happened. Did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Only the Holy Ghost could cause that. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I'm telling you what, I got something in my spirit right now that 2017 is going to be a year of Jubilee. Something big is about to happen. Something big. Not something good anymore, something big. So here's the finale here, Romans chapter 8, verse 14. My title was, Know the Reality of and Continually Be Led by the Spirit Who Now Lives in You. Know the reality of it, continually be led by the Spirit Who Now Lives in You. Why? Paul's letter to the Romans, 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Whew. So here's what the Holy Spirit said for the last quoting. He said, since there's a pouring out, there has to be a pouring in. Think about that. Since there's a pouring out, so you tip the bottle. Since there's a pouring out, there has to be a pouring in. I don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to come in, and He'll show you what He's about. Let's give Him praise, church. Glory to God.
Thank you for listening today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our services. We are located at 150 South Comrie Avenue in Johnstown, New York. Our services are Sunday morning at 9 and Tuesday evening at 7. For more information about our services and all about what we believe, please go to our website at www.believersfamilychurch.org. That's www.believersfamilychurch.org. Come and worship Jesus together with us at BFC. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.